turning negatives into positives. The dark night of the soul offers a serious challenge to material consciousness, inviting us to become more transcendental. When we live on a transcendental level, we accept every circumstance as favorable, learning to turn negatives into positives and to make positives even more positive. We can make a negative situation positive by examining it closely, asking ourselves, why has this come about? God is all-loving and there are no accidents in the universe. There must be a good reason for this problem to appear in my life. Such an attitude allows an event that might initially seem negative to become a stepping stone instead. In everyday life, when we climb a set of stairs, we are engaged in a process of confrontation and advancement. First, we confront the next step, and then we advance to it. Similarly, in spiritual life, we cannot experience advancement without confrontation. We cannot go to the next level without test, just as university students must take examinations at the end of each semester to demonstrate their level of accomplishment to the teacher. Negative situations provide opportunities for us to prove our readiness, or lack of it, for the next level of spiritual life. Here is a simple example. Imagine that someone said to you, "Your face is so ugly, I can't bear to look at you." At this point, you have a choice. You can react in kind by getting furious, making a threatening gesture, and warning that person about the ugly effects of a black eye. Or you can resist reacting and humbly respond, "I'm sorry that you're disturbed, but that's your problem." Remember, if we take the statement in a negative way, we actually lower ourselves to the attacker's level. Indeed, if we accept the words as an attack and get caught up in reaction, we are already vanquished because we have lost our self-mastery. Our attacker will harass us even more until we become trapped in a cycle of negativity. If others disturb us, we can use the situation as a step in our spiritual development, viewing the confrontation as a test. When we become upset, we are impeding our spiritual progress. In contrast, if we remain unaffected, our would-be attacker will back away and will even feel ridiculous after a while. Not only have we defeated the other person, who has not demonstrated sufficient power to affect us, but we have also helped raise that individual's consciousness. Spiritual warriors are not merely theoretical lecturers or scholars. First and foremost, they are practitioners. According to their level of realization, practitioners are held accountable for what they do as well as for what they say. Because their consciousness is monitored by the angels and demigods, spiritual warriors pay a price if they behave improperly. For these reasons, simply hearing or reading about spiritual principles is not enough. We must learn to apply them to our own circumstances. Life is very dear, and the way in which we use our time is extremely significant. Spiritual teaching should always have practical applications. We should gain a clear sense of how the principles work so that we can use them in daily life and learn ways from our experiences to improve our service to others and to God. A small example from the author's experience may help to illustrate this point. Sometimes the author presents 5 or 6 lectures or interviews in one day. Because he has so many programs, he's experienced many different types of interference and has learned to expect and anticipate such challenges. Recently, he was supposed to appear on a television program in Nigeria after a visit to a government official. Because the official could not see the author on time, he was delayed and arrived at the television station a bit behind schedule. Despite his lateness, they had to wait because some legal papers had to be arranged. Now, the author could have complained, "Oh, this is so terrible. Here I've been delayed by the official. I'm late for this program, and now I'm just being kept waiting even longer. I'm just going to leave because every time I come to this TV station, I wind up waiting 2 to 6 hours. I'm tired of it." As a matter of fact, it's true. The author has never arrived at that television station and been able to go right on the air. But why should the author be disturbed? Instead, he decided, "Well, here's some extra time for me to catch up on some writing and reading." Or I can take this period to chant and pray, so that when I do appear on the program, I can invite the Lord to help me say something to uplift everyone's consciousness. In this way, the author did not lose any time, nor did he waste any energy in frustration or anger.